Okay, let's start. Well, first of all, let me know. We have a new recording device call in. So that's one of the main reasons why we kind of moved everything over this way. And if you do have something to say, if you're making a comment, Brent told me that the device in a test earlier today picked up voices from as far as 40 feet away. But I would say the closer you are to the device, so if you do have something to say and you're like looks far away, I recommend that you stand up and just come over closer to the table.
Okay? Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Mike. This is Van.
Yes.
Take the hat off. Yeah, take the hat off the speaker. I think it's messing with it.
The hat?
There's no hat.
There is no hat.
Oh,
man.
All right, I thought somebody was going to put a hat on it.
Don't tell them only when you're talking.
That, okay, Vance, can you hear us all right?
Oh, yeah. It's a little bit broken up. And, you know, of course, this is our first try with, and we'll have to sort of figure out as we go.
Okay, sounds good. Jeff, you're farther away. Jeff, say something. See, Vance, I'm going to have Jeff say something. See if you can hear him.
Vance, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you right off the top that where it all kind of gets messed up is when multiple people talk at once because of this thing is intelligent in a way that it tries to use the microphone that's closest to whoever's talking. And it gets a little mixed up when more than one person is talking, so FYI.
I guess I have to keep my mouth shut.
Thank you. So only one person talking at a time.
We can hear some people. On that end, we can hear voices coming from somebody's.
They need to mute it.
No, we need to mute ourselves. Anybody who's dialed in,
yeah.
If you're not actively talking, mute yourself.
Thank you.
We can still hear him. Can you hear him?
Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Just to let everybody know, we have to
start. Yeah, they're talking.
I hear somebody saying, let's get started.
Yeah, somebody's talking.
Somebody's got a conversation going on in the background.
You sound kind of like a chicken.
Oh, that's over there. Vance, can you hear what we're hearing with a conversation going on in the background?
Not at this moment, no.
We have on the phone call today, so that Mariah can get us in our house.
I don't know if it's bleeding across from a different phone setup.
Maybe somebody's got a TV on.
I mean, I'm hearing, I heard them reference Mariah's name as like there's something playing in the background. I'm hearing John's voice right now, talking to Brent.
Okay.
That's Brent Fulmer's voice, and I heard your voice and heard him say Mariah. That's weird.
Shall we tell
Hey, Vance, there is another conversation that we can hear going on in the background. It's like a previous recording.
Yeah, I know. Is Brent right there?
Can you hear Brent?
This is playing.
Oh, then turn it off.
Okay, so I better turn on mine.
Okay, Vance, we figured it out. it was on our table right in front of us.
We want to.
I'm gonna record. Yeah.
Set it up to record instead of play. I don't know how to
record in the middle of that other file. It's not important.
Okay. Hopefully this is
recording.
Recording.
Okay.
Let's start out with our roll call. It's taken us 10 minutes to get to the roll call. Starting over here with, first of all, for the board, let's start with the board.
All of the board members are present with the exception of Cindy. Cindy, are you on the line calling in?
I am.
All right. So Cindy is with us. So we have all of the board. Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I think there's a little lag, though.
Yeah, I would agree with you. So all of the board members are in attendance, six here live and Cindy on the teleconference. And now we'll go around to see who else is here.
I'm Mariah Wheeler.
Brent Fulmer, a.k.a. Mariah Wheeler. Okay, gotcha.
John and Linda Reed. Do I say the lot number?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Michael and Teresa Jordison, lot 67.
Thank you.
Kevin and Cindy Poole, lot 64.
Thank you.
May Woolsey, 220.
Thank you.
Jeff and Tina Collins, 121.
Thank you.
Braden Berenson, 250, thanks. 212.
Thank you.
Karen and Randy Fry, lot 13.
Dan Wirt, lots 28 plus, several.
Okay. Okay, and then Karen, I heard you. Anybody else on the teleconference?
Yes.
Yeah, Vance is there.
Vance, can you hear? I figured you were just assuming that.
Yeah, and we were. Okay, all right. Well, that's the roll call, so thank you, everybody. So I'm turning it over to Kathy for presentation and approval of meeting minutes. Kathy.
Okay, we passed the minutes out to the board. I know there was changes made. All of you board members approve with the changes, and everything's good. You guys okay?
I read them. Does anybody object to approving the minutes?
I would make a motion that we approve the minutes from the May meeting.
I second it.
Thank you.
Motion approved. Thank you. And on to number three on the agenda, treasurer report from Joe Bozek.
Unfortunately, I left my dollar amounts home in Vegas for the amount of money we got, but we're looking really good. We've collected 94% of our association dues. All the people that were up for collection have paid, so we're 100% caught up. We're still 18 people haven't paid this year, but other than that, we're looking really good. We're had it written down. I think we're like $3,000 ahead on reservations from the previous year, so we're doing real good. Nothing major to report with any complaints. That's about all I got.
Okay. Any questions for Joe? Okay. And Mariah, are you going to do the office report?
Oh, Mariah.
I can't. I'm not going to.
All right. So we're gonna skip the office report for today. Mariah had other obligations, and she couldn't be here with us today, so we obviously miss her. And hopefully she'll be with us and get us caught up on the office report next time. Number five on the agenda, property management report, Mr. Kurt Jacobson.
We have goats now in the petting zoo, and lambs are coming next week, so that'll kind of fill out. We have rabbits and chickens and geese and turkeys and guinea fowls that are not very friendly. The cabin six has been my main project, and it's painted, and now I have the finishes to do. I have a list of finishes. This next week we'll be hitting it hard. Anybody who has time to volunteer for any of that, please let me know when you're available, and I'll take all the help I can get. Walt has been fixed so we can water the grass again, and we hit it really hard yesterday, and so we'll be greening up around the headquarters again and getting that pretty.
Kurt, how long was the main water system down?
About 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know the cabins had intermittent issues with water not being available.
Well, what happened was if somebody hauled water from here, then it drained the pipe from the vault, so the cabins were without water for a half hour, 40 minutes. Brent was turning up the pressure on it periodically, and it just wasn't keeping up with it, but they got in there, Larry and Brent, and did that, got that running. They're still fine-tuning the 4-inch line, but the 2-inch line is working. Back on cabin 6, Jeff and Tina jumped in and bailed me out on the drywall, and they did finished the mud work and texturing on it yesterday morning and enabled me to do the Jennifer Scherer came and helped paint, and we sealed the drywall and painted it yesterday, so I want to make sure they get credited for that. But, yeah, the water is getting fine-tuned, and we have water again, so everything's running normal.
Okay.
At the moment.
At the moment. So my understanding is that we're still working to do some possible additional repairs on the 4-inch line, but there's a new 2-inch line for the lower cabin system, separate system that is – it is good enough that it could last forever. I mean, we could use that 2-inch alternate system indefinitely without any other problems, but we still want to fix that 4-inch line, correct?
The 2-inch system is actually a bypass in case the 4-inch fails. It just has. So we're using that.
We've learned how to activate the 4-inch system, but we can't control the pressure. So if we activate it, it puts too much pressure down here. There's a difference just in right here and cabin 7 and 8 of about 30 pounds additional pressure. And so that's too much for down here. But Brent's going to get it figured out.
Brent's not here.
Larry and everybody else.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, well, Brent and I talked about this morning, and we have a theory. Back several years ago when they did the hot tap for the Ellert's lot, when they hole sawed the pipe to put the saddle on, the piece of plastic that sawed out fell inside. And we have a sneaky suspicion that piece of plastic, you know, a couple inches in diameter, has made its way all the way down to the pressure regulator and jammed it closed or open or whatever it is.
Oh, my. Okay.
So it all kind of gets back to the thing we're leaning towards about taking it out eventually, having it rebuilt and repainted and yada, yada, yada. So, but that's our theory, and we're sticking by it for now.
Yeah. We're making progress.
Okay, thank you for that, Vance. Appreciate it. So, Mr. Jacobson, back to you. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay.
Am I missing something?
Well, let's talk about cabin 6 renovations.
I already did that.
No, but I meant in terms of anticipated completion, just so everybody else knows.
Anticipated completion, I have a reservation on Saturday.
Exactly.
So Friday afternoon.
Friday night sometime, maybe Saturday morning.
And that's really all I wanted everybody to be able to hear.
Yeah,
but, you know, we're almost done with
And... Yeah, he's trying to get his report done so he can leave and go back to
work. You're wasting his time.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Next item on the agenda, we have some follow-up regarding some items from last month or two. Where are we at with the fencing project with the BLM and Johnny Brown and Elford?
Kevin Ballard has started the fencing project 2 weeks ago. And is out every week working on it. And so that's working.
Kurt, can you tell me how far
Just so you know, the Brinkerhoffs have brought their cows up this morning.
Okay.
So they're up there.
Yeah. They're a day late. They should have brought them yesterday.
I thought they were supposed to come the end of I thought they were supposed to come the 11th or the end of June. But
no,
anyway, so it'd be nice to know like how far, so we know if we've got cattle coming in.
I will go out there when Kevin comes out the next time, and I'll give you a clear report on that.
Okay.
Right now, I'm trying to get out of the hole.
I know. I know.
And I'm getting there.
Yep, you are.
Got it. Okay. Anything else in terms of fencing that everybody should know about?
Fencing that people should know about?
Well, just in terms of where we're at.
Well, we're
planning to be done.
Well, we're planning on being done by the end of the month. That was the goal. So he's got Kevin's wife and sons and everybody's out here working on the fences out there, and they're really doing a good job, very involved, and they're out here all the time. And Kevin's goal is to get all the barbed wire picked up on the ranch and get all that cleaned up and all the fences repaired. And so it's going to be an ongoing project.
Okay, got it. And just for anybody that doesn't know, Kevin works at Hunt Cattle Company.
Yeah, Kevin is a partner with Hunt Cattle Company. He's also Kevin Ballard, Dr. Ballard, our local vet.
Yeah.
And he also has a vet working.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That big building down there.
That big building down there.
Right. Intersection, the Goodfellow.
That's Kevin's
big farm.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And he also has a practice in Page that I didn't know about.
Okay.
So.
He's responsible for cancer blends east and west on the other side of Lot 1. It runs out. It's a BLM fence that runs.
Is it the BLM fence that's running east and west? Then if it's on BLM on both sides, then it's the Hunt Cattle Company's responsibility.
So that's one place that they'll have to talk about.
Well, they're going to be working on that fence next.
Okay. You walk that line.
Yeah, because you got the first, they're working on the 3/4 mile east and west at the top. I think that's the one you're talking about.
Right.
The other one we're talking about goes south. That goes by Brinkerhoffs, right?
No, the one on the north side is the one that...
That's the Brinkerhoffs. Who's got the one on the south side?
Brinkerhoffs has got the one on the south.
Okay.
The ones on the north, that is Swallow Park, and that is Lefevers and Hamlin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, those two fences are in the radar right now, I guess.
That'll help a lot.
Yeah.
Good deal. Anybody have any questions for Kurt? Nope. Okay. Next item, Lot 1 water easement proposal, Clint Curtis. Larry, have you talked to...
I have not. I
haven't talked to him either.
I talked to him and to Randy. Randy is doing the easement for all of the members, and then Clint is doing the one for the black line, which is lot 2 and 3. And they just have not been able to get to it. Randy, I did talk to him. I provided a surveyed map so they could go off of that and try to get a map for Barry. And I was not able to talk anymore to Clint when he was going to do it. Randy said he was going to try to get to it in the next month and a half. He's been busy trying to put his fence up for.
Okay.
They got it finished.
They know it. The ball's in their court.
So they know that, and we're just waiting for it to happen.
Okay. Sounds good. Next item, NRCS project review. Several of the board members met with Brad Hunt yesterday to get an update on where we're at with the NRCS projects. Those of you that have been around for a while know that it was the NRCS projects is a program from the federal government where they provide some matching funds for projects that are completed that benefit the improvement of agriculture and livestock. And the board previously approved a very ambitious project proposal. I think there were 16 separate items on that proposal. And according to our conversation with Brad yesterday, most of those items have been completed. There are a few that are still in process. The Half Moon Well, Brent, is in process. And if you have any questions about that, talk to Brad, because he's already bought solar panels and he's working on it. But Brad said that all of the projects, with the exception of some brush hogging and weed abatement, which are seasonal, have seasonal requirements in terms of when they can be applied, but he said basically everything on the list is going to be done by the end of this year, with the exception of brush hogging and weed abatement, which should be completed by next spring.
Just because it's weather and temperature dependent.
Correct. Yep. Exactly. So, and the good news is that based on our conversation yesterday, he said Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association is not going to be required to put in any additional monies into completing all of those projects. So the money that we've already put into those projects previously is going to carry it through to completion. Next item, cattle grazing during drought conditions, cattle grates and gates. Kurt, you just mentioned yesterday that they opened the BLM grazing.
BLM grazing opened yesterday, and that's when we should start seeing any problems that might occur or not. Grates, I'm putting, as soon as I get out of the hole, which should be sometime next weekend, I will start pulling trees out. I'm going to redo the entrance to the ranch here. We're going to put a cattle guard in there so we don't have a gate issue. I'm trying to make headquarters cow-free 100%. We've repaired all the fences all the way around the headquarters, and we're going to be adding a fence down this side road here that's going to be an alleyway for pushing cattle directly up into the corrals without having to use the headquarters. So that'll keep the poop scooping down to a minimum around headquarters.
And that's always a good thing.
Yes.
Question is, I had been told that because of the drought conditions that BLM was going to contact the ranchers, that they were going to minimize.
That meeting hasn't happened yet. I don't know why. I'll call Alan Monday and find out what the deal is with that.
They were supposed to bring him down about half the cattle.
I have not heard on that. So
the BLM range managers are supposed to go out and assess, because most everywhere is there's nothing for them to eat.
Yeah.
So to turn them out there just to eat dirt doesn't do a whole
lot. A lot of guys have sold off their cows and they're not even putting cows out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it's what little grass we have is little. So,
gotcha. Yeah, in fact, talking about the drought conditions, I live in Henderson. I know Joe lives in Vegas, and it's been all over the news lately that Lake Mead is at the lowest level that it's ever been at since they started filling it in the first place back in the 1930s. It's at 30-something percent of its capacity, which is just incredibly low. And so, you know, Utah, Nevada, Arizona, you know, the whole West Coast, you know, the drought is not going to be over anytime soon. And so we have to do whatever we can to conserve water and mitigate the impact.
Well, Mike, this is a good example right here. This is right now with their site. Look at these trees. They're all established trees. We're well into June. They should be fully leafed out, and they're not, right? And that's because of the drought.
I've noticed a lot of the juniper branches are breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at a lot of the trees in the forest, you see a mixture of live limbs and dead limbs. And those dead limbs are from past drought periods. Not all of them, but mostly they're from past. So they didn't get enough water to support all the limbs, so it partially dies back, and then it comes back when it has water again. So, yeah, and there's a lot of damage out there right now.
Dad had a question over here.
Dan?
Isn't Lake Mead where Las Vegas gets its drinking water?
90%.
Didn't used to, but it has been for the last 15 years or so, yes.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they used to have a pipe. They sucked it out of from the top. That area is dry now. But 10 years ago, they started digging a tunnel underneath to the deepest part. They now get water from the bottom of the lake, so they can empty it completely and still supply water to Vegas. But they say if they keep it up, they're going to have to start cutting some of the turbines down that are making electricity because there's not enough water to keep them turning.
The thing about that is not only need, it's Lake Powell. It's way down almost.
Yeah.
It only has one ramp left.
Yeah. They just called it.
And for Lake Powell to be down that low, 3 years ago it came up 40 feet. 3 years ago, so in 2 years it's back down there again. So
it's dry where these put out. Like,
yeah.
Look at how far Lake Powell is. Only dry for about a mile down from where you can take how close up in the water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's bad.
Well, Las Vegas is going to lose some population if they don't have electricity around the air conditioners. And we have no water.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, maybe that's why we're selling so many lots at Deer Springs Ranch lately.
Right.
I had a chance to see all the solar panels are putting out of Vegas going up 95.
Oh, man, there's a ton of them.
There's miles of them.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, back to the agenda. Next item is pet leash requirement. We talked about that at the meeting last time. We haven't talked about it again since, so there haven't been any decisions yet in terms of whether or not that's a good idea or a bad idea. So we'll have to continue
that. The only thing is, you know, I hate to say leash requirement, but, you know, if you got an animal that's going to kill chickens, don't have them on a leash
or fight other dogs
or cause disruptions, sure. You know.
Did I hear correctly that we lost a couple turkeys to dogs last night?
Yep. Three turkeys.
Okay.
Okay. So,
no, thank you for making that clear.
In my opinion, all the birds need to end up.
Well,
I would like to see that just because people come here to use the tables and they got... You got bird poop all of them,
right.
You know?
Keep the poop from the cows out, but the trees and poop from the
chickens. Yeah, that kind of was on the back of my mind when I said that, too. I kind of agree with you there. It'll make harvesting eggs a lot easier, too. So.
But do we know whose dogs they are, or it's...
No, you know, it's...
Could it be coyotes?
What about the wolves?
You know, coyotes wouldn't leave anything behind. Coyotes get and take.
Morning says there was a wolf that crossed the food plot in front of her headed towards headquarters.
Yeah. And I don't doubt it. But they're not going to leave carcasses laying around. They're going to take it to eat. Yeah, I mean, Gus plays with them, but he's never killed one before. But, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah.
But
we got the turkeys pinned up with the goats now. Huh?
Maybe it was a goat.
For sure.
Well, there's two of them, two turkeys I saw this morning with their heads eaten off. And then there's another one that we don't know where it is. So
there's another mean turkey.
But I mean to actually,
yeah.
But to see the dog doing it,
I haven't seen anything. All I'm saying is I got two dead turkeys and a missing turkey, and you know.
Well, one of my dogs, the big dog, did kill one. I see it, and I don't bring her here anymore. Or if I do, I leave her in the truck or leash her. But
right, because I know a couple years ago your dog killed one.
Yeah.
She was so depressed. He brought her over here, tied her to the tree to stay with me for a few days. She was so depressed. She was in her cage, and the chickens were eating her food and her water. I got a picture of it.
And she did. she didn't come out.
She didn't care.
She didn't care. The cage was not closed.
A couple days later, it was a different story. Yeah. And the chicken stayed clear.
So if I'm hearing everybody correctly, it sounds like the chickens and the birds are going to be penned up going forward. And I know we have always sent out, and Mariah, correct me if I'm wrong. We have always, when people rent cabins, we send them information in advance, basically what you can do, what you can't do, you know, the waiver. And right in there, I know it specifically says that you should keep your dog on a leash. And so, you know, ultimately, I think the answer is personal responsibility. You know, so if you know you have an animal that, you know, has the potential for getting out of control, then control it. So, and I, you know, personally, I hate the thought of trying to enforce something like that. I mean, who's going to do that? I mean, somebody shows up, their dog's not on a leash, you're going to go confront them and say, I'm sorry, you can't be here, you have to go home. I mean, it's really a matter of personal responsibility to make sure that anybody who has dogs, and I've got two of them, that, you know, you take care of your own animals.
Big ones. So.
If your dog does kill something, pay for it.
Exactly. I think that's fair. Yeah.
So. I mean, there may not be a price on those chickens, at, you know.
It's hard to put a price to take care of them. You know.
Right.
Well, once it's destroyed, hey, what would that chicken cost?
I mean, have the conversation, certainly.
Well, a new chicken's about $5.
Okay. So moving on. The next item that we want to discuss is something that has come up recently. I know it's not a new question for the ranch per se, because there are a lot of people that have been here for decades where, you know, they have, you know, stories and examples of things that have happened in the past. But the discussion that we want to have is regarding the commercial use of an owner's lot. And we're talking about item number 7 on the agenda. And it has specifically come up because there have been a number of people who are considering purchasing lots at Deer Springs Ranch. And as part of that investigative process are asking the question, well, can I do this and can I do that? Kathy said that, you know, when she's showing lots, she hears it all the time. People saying, you know, well, could I do this and can I do that? And we specifically had an email sent to Mariah recently, and I'm sure you remember that, Mariah, where people were asking if I buy this lot, can I put up tents and then rent those tents to people?
And the cabin.
And
the cabin, because they're two separate issues.
And the cabin. Well, there are a lot of different issues because, you know, there are some people that want to build a cabin and then rent it on Airbnb. Other people say, well, I'm not going to put $100,000 into a cabin, but I'll go spend, you know, a few $1,000s. I'll put some tents on my property and then I'll rent those out for $50 a night. And, you know, there's a fine line that we need to walk between protecting individual owner rights. It's like, you know, basically you've got, you know, you own your 20 acres or your 20 plus acres, whatever it is, and you can essentially do whatever you want. But at the same time, we all know you can't do whatever you want. You can't start a fire and have it spread to everybody else. You can't, you know, build a 10-story motel and
Waldendorf gas is not what we want to be out here either.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's the membership that's going to have to decide because, you know, do we want our resources going to people who are renting out to people that don't have a stake in the game on this ranch? I mean, we're owners of this ranch. We have lots.
Just coming in to make some money and not.
Yeah.
Well, it's already been decided. So in the CC&Rs, it talks about what your property, your personal property is for. You can rent it, you can lease it, you can subdivide it, you can do a whole slew of different things.
Yeah.
And it also talks about codes. So zoning codes.
Building codes.
And wildlife interface codes and all those things.
Yep.
So as long as you're within the rules of the county or the city or wherever it is you are umbrella, you can do whatever you want. It's your personal property. King County has a no short-term rental rule. So you can't do an Airbnb or a campground on a short short-term basis. And their definition of short-term is less than 30 days. So you can, however, according to zoning, rent a room in your house to a tenant, for instance. But that term has to be 30 days plus. So it's kind of already been addressed. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think there's a little bit of a discrepancy there because I called King County because I'm dealing with clients, and we discussed it in an executive meeting. Airbnb, you have to have commercial. So that's a no because we're not zoned commercial.
Only some counties. So even
I'm talking King County. I'm talking us right here.
Right.
You can do a HEP camp or glamping because it is zoned agriculture. But you have to have running water. There's very few people that have a well or hooked to the. You can't come and get water from the J station and haul it. It has to have a flushing toilet for you to do that. And so that eliminates a lot. But we're kind of bringing this up because, you know, those that do have it, I've got a spring hooked up the spring and to a well. But you know what? Do I really want to see us become Duck Creek? And that's why it's being brought up so we can discuss this with members because this is the members. It would have to be a change in the CCNRs. So it would be something that would need to be addressed and put out there. I would think that everybody here has moved out here for some peace and quiet, not the go, go, go. You know, you're going to have them using our roads. We're already, I asked John how much money he spends on roads. You've got the fishing. We've got, you know, people are going to want to come and use the fishing. You've got tents, but no shower. They're going to come and use the showers. We found a solution to that. You charge $10 per shower. And that to me would be fair. But there's.
For somebody who's not an owner.
That's, for
right.
somebody that's not an owner, correct. But that's the things that we need to talk about because we know that you have to abide by the zoning and in the CCNRs. And the bylaws, yeah, if you've got, you know, you can. But do we as members want this? Do we need to address it in the CCNRs?
Well, I think it's a fine line that you're walking. Counties and stuff are already being sued over people who want to do Airbnbs and bed and breakfasts and all these things because essentially the building departments and stuff are now telling you what you can and what you cannot do on your private real estate. So owners and attorneys and all these other things are saying, well, what's the difference? If I rent a room to somebody for 30 days, or I rent a room to somebody every single day for 30 days, what is the difference? Because it happens to be a different body that's staying in the room, there's still a body staying in the room for those 30 days. And it's been around since the beginning of time, right? So back in the olden days, they called them boarders. People would rent rooms in their homes to subsidize their households. It's no different. But counties and cities and all these other building departments and things are getting involved in dictating what people can and can't do on their private property. And there's a lot, if you look on the internet, there's a lot of lawsuits and stuff still pending of private owners suing building departments and suing zoning commissions and suing all these things. Can't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Members have a lot more control than the county. I'm sorry.
House, right?
You can
so
change the CCNR.
So let's say you have a house and you decide you want to move, but you don't want to sell it. You can rent it, but you can't rent it on a daily basis. You can rent it on a 30-day basis because the county said that.
Well, Kathy just made a great point, and the reason that Deer Springs Ranch has CCNRs, we have protective covenants. It's to try to clarify what people can and can't do. And Kathy just made the comment, you know, as owners, if we all collectively agree that we do or do not want something, we can update or change the CCNRs. I mean, if you live in a community with an HOA, and the HOA says, you know, you can paint your house this color, this color, this color.
Don't do that.
and you paint it a different color,
don't want to be next.
You're going to have a problem. No, we're not. I hate HOAs.
Isn't some of those things that you're talking about reasons why HOAs have a bad rap?
Can you find a fine
people
line?
People hate HOAs.
That's what we're trying to find, is that fine
line. That's
rental minimums and a lot more accountability from the HOA placed back on the individual owner who chooses to do that.
And we've talked about
that. Ultimately, that is the answer.
Keep the class up.
Yeah.
Keep the spirit of the ranch alive and, you know, the vibe that is people want out here. I came here to
exactly
from chaos. But exactly. I've been in hospitality for years. I do events for a living. I would love to be able, supervised, to, hey, rent my place out for a couple weeks to someone. You know, I mean, I'm going to be living up here personally. I don't know how many full timers there are, but I want to live here full time, and I definitely want a good, you know, friendly experience here with everyone. I also want to be able to work and make money, be the tour, but I don't want to see this place become commercial.
Exactly.
And beaten down. There's got to be some kind of happy meeting.
And that's exactly why we're having the conversation, to get that started.
Well, that's kind of always been my question. When you see the wording like commercial use, what does that mean? What does that imply?
I work from home forever, so is that commercial that I work in my office is based from home and I plan my events and build my teams in my living room and, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, like, so we have looked at hip camp stuff. And there are counties out there that allow you to put 4 tent sites on your private property.
Yeah.
Anything more than 4, and you got to have permits and running water and so on and so forth.
I think Kane County is 7.
At 7, and for 10 acres, for 20, you can have 11. Now, I don't want to be neighbors to somebody who's got 11 camp spots. No way.
When you research some of those things, because like I was telling my wife, it falls kind of under like the, what is the car one where you drive people around?
Uber.
Ubers and stuff. You can't make any money.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that as a side thing, you're not going to make any money. You're just going to burn your car up and all the stuff. So, all these people who are doing hit camps and all these things, you have to create full-blown campgrounds
if
you want to make any money. Otherwise, it's a couple dollars here and it's a couple dollars there, and you're not going to make anything. But she had said it earlier today, what is the difference if I have a cleared RV spot on my property and I invite a friend out to stay in an RV, charge him $0, or if I have somebody come out and they pay me $20 for the night. What's the difference? Really?
I got something to say on some of this stuff. You know, if we go commercial, where does it stop? I'll give you an example. About 3 or 4 years ago, a lot next to me, the people gave the right-of-way for a beekeeper to put 45 beehives on the lot. I couldn't even get in my cabin without getting stung.
Right.
So if we're going to allow that, then you're going to want to have tents, and somebody else is going to want to have something else.
And pretty soon you got duck creek.
And I couldn't even use my ATV because I couldn't get off on it and get out of my lot without getting stung.
Right.
So there's got to be rules.
We've met people that were looking at lots out here because they wanted to start horseback riding stuff. Is that okay? Same difference. Now you're talking a commercial business. Like, where do we draw the line?
Well, that's exactly what we need to talk about.
Well, coming from the other side of that, we ran an Airbnb in Laverton for around 2 years. Now, we ran it in a duplex. We lived in the upper half and Airbnb the bottom half. Okay? In 2 years, we had one random group of people who failed to follow the rules and got noisy after quiet time. Okay, so from that perspective, owner occupied, where the owner is on the property present, maybe
the host situation.
It may be the line that works.
Yeah, I concur.
Just as a suggestion from experience, I think the owner not being present, and you're letting anybody out here anytime to do anything,
yeah, with a key punch or something.
That makes a lot of sense.
I also think you, I think nightly rentals, first off, taking care of people for what I do for a living, nightly rentals are not sustainable out here. There, it's a massive traffic on the road, back and forth. I think there's, if you're going to let anyone do this and you say, hey, it's okay if you're present with your guests on the property to rent out a space, you probably want some minimums in place, like week minimum or 2 week minimum or, you know, and I mean, it gets touchy.
You know, the just to add a little side note, because everybody's got good, valid points, but, you know, from another perspective, you know, you're allowed two cabins on your 20 acres.
Yep.
And you're allowed access on the road 365. You have right to have access to those cabins 365 days a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that if it was limited to that and maybe owner-occupied, that would be great. But when we're talking about
big establishment,
11 tents and everything, I was talking to a friend of mine up in...
I don't want to see that either out here. I don't think that's...
I have a friend in Zion Ponderosa, and I ran into him the other day in town, and he would say, man, you know, I got a helicopter resort going in behind me, where it's the only way to get there is via helicopters, or put a helicopter pad behind him, and then he's got 22 yurts in front of him. And it just ruined the whole way he bought out there.
Ruined
going on.
Yeah.
You know, and that whole quality of life is gone.
Yeah,
and
I
if there was
a place in California for a minute, up in Mendocino County near the coast. And I bought it with my partner, you know, 15 years ago. And we watched it just get overrun by the growth scene there. And just people not caring about the land and the property. And it was heartbreaking. That's not why we moved up there. To be collecting back the trash every time I went down the road,
yeah.
Pinning them to the billboard at the front of the community, you know. And so I would hope to see the pristine nature of this place preserved and not have.
Yeah.
John's had his hand raised for a long time. You want to talk?
Well, I'm trying not to butt in, but I have. Here's my thoughts on the deal. It's we've all bought property out here for reasons you just mentioned. We already have a problem out here with people bringing guests and those guests not obeying rules. I was almost hit coming to meeting three times head on by a group that was going way to hell too fast. I mean, really fast. I've been run off the road. These are people that are not here. They're guests of people.
No care.
They have nothing invested in it. And here's the deal: if I have a lot here and I put 7 or 8 tents on it, and you're my neighbor, and these guests they bring their quad and they bring whatever. They run the road, they drive too fast, they run across your property, as has happened here. And they drink and they throw things around. They have no vested interest in it whatsoever. Now, but that's not all of it. They're going to be, we'll say they're here for 2 weeks. And they're dry camping here. Are they not going to want to use these showers at some point? Are they not going to want to go down and fish in the pond that you paid for the fish that's in it? We have a catch and release thing here so that we don't fish them all out, so that our kids here can have fun with it. They come down there and they fish them out. You paid for it, but I'm happy because I just sold. I made $800 in a couple of days here. I'm happy, but you lost. And then they run up and down the road, which I have a hard time keeping maintained out here. Look how rough they are. They're too dry to do anything with. And, you know, that's just some of it. Just some of the things. They are going to use facilities that you're paying for me to make a profit. You might say, well, we can charge this, we can charge that. Okay, if we're going to charge that, where are we going to stop? Are we going to now put a
a campground out here, like they're building all up and down the highway there. People bring their motorhomes, and then they're going to be doing that. Is that what we want? Do we want to leave that to them that are in business for it in town?
You
cannot control these people.
On anyone's property. I don't think.
There may be laws. There may be rules on the book, but they don't apply to everything. No law can apply to every situation. As far as telling you what you can and can't do, well, I've been in a swimming pool in California for 53 years. And I'm telling you, when I get down to the beach, you can't do what you want.
Yeah, I know.
You go through a lot of hoops to be able to do anything, and they're like you say, they got to, you're a guest, you got to paint the house a certain color, too.
Yeah. Not a joke.
People come here anyhow. I'm sorry, Joe. I thought you were done.
Well, I might as well be done. I talk too much, so.
There's a company called Wingate. They have kids that are in trouble, and they put them in camp, and they're allowed to come up here and go on the BLM land and camp. They're not allowed to camp on our personal property, but they're allowed to walk across it. I hate to tell you, they don't carry a shovel when they take a dump.
Yeah.
Because it's on my property, the property next to me, and everything else. So the same thing's going to happen if you have renters up here. They don't care. They will do what they have to do to make themselves happy.
I've gone out at 2 o'clock in the morning and made them put out a fire. I said, you got to leave. And there was a bunch of girls that, well, at 2 o'clock in the morning, can we spend the night? And I said, put out your fire at 6 a.m. You're out of here. Yeah, and they did it. They did it. They're ignorant. I'm not saying stupid. I'm saying they're ignorant.
Yeah.
They're just young people, and they don't understand a lot of things.
When was that, John?
Well, that was the
last couple of years.
That was a couple of years ago. Yeah. It was over by that property.
Wingate is a commercial operation.
Yeah, I know it is. And I went to Wingate.
But you know, they're not allowed to camp on our property, but they can walk through it.
They can walk through it. Joe and I confronted some up in the middle of the night up off Crawford. We go out there. The other night, I had a big bonfire.
Through it.
Yeah, I did too. They should be able to walk through private property.
They don't have a GPS that tells them exactly where they're at.
But anyway,
But if it's your property,
this is a commercial business that there's spots on this ranch that they can go because it's not ours, but it's right in the middle of ours. But my point is when we invite people in bring somebody in, they're paying a fee. You don't necessarily know anything about it.
Well, thank you all for all of your comments. We're not the purpose of bringing this up today was not to make any decisions, just to let everybody know that there is an issue. There is an issue. Questions are being asked, and
you're going to see more and more people coming out here.
That's exactly right.
I want to make a proposal that we ask Mariah to send out a survey and ask people to listen to this meeting so they can hear some of the input that's been put in, and then maybe bring up to on the survey so we can get more input from the members. That's what we're here for. But I'm hoping that we're all going to be able to find a solution to this.
Well, in addition to that, I agree that's a good idea. In addition to that, I think as a board, it's our responsibility to clarify exactly what are the rules, you know, what are the regulations from Kane County, you know, what do our own existing, you know, CCNRs, you know, stipulate can and can't be done, because with so many new owners up here, you know, they haven't read all that stuff, you know,
I read through it pretty clearly, no, but it's a little vague.
Yeah, and
it just points over to zoning, basically.
Yeah.
It says you can do whatever zoning will let you do.
What's the percentage? I know my house, we have to have over 85% of people vote and approve
a CCR change.
Correct.
That's the same thing.
It's the same thing here. Yeah, I'm not sure.
All the landowners, even though they don't come out here ever, that's going to be hard to do.
Yeah, it is hard to change the rules and regs, but it's not hard to.
The percentage of the votes heard.
HOA is 85% of property owners.
Ours
has to vote to prove it.
Ours is the number.
I don't know that it's like that.
Some rules are.
Yeah, and obviously that the answer to that question is in the documents that we already have. I mean, it says right in the documents that the bylaws, the protective covenants. It stipulates right in there. In order to change these documents requires X percent. So that's already been spelled out.
Dan's over here.
I'm not sure it was the last meeting, annual meeting, but in a recent annual meeting, it was Barry's opinion. He's an attorney and was president at the time. That it was a percentage of the votes, not a percentage of the entire membership.
I believe that.
That's the way I understand it. Yeah.
And this question, at least in my mind, has been on my mind for many years. And finally, there was an opinion expressed by Barry Clarkson that it was a percentage of the actual votes. For what it's worth.
Right, because only like 50% of people actually vote.
Yeah, I think the CCNRs go one way and the rules and regs go another way.
I think that's true.
There's a different percentage.
Right. Yeah, they both have a different.
Some,
that's how they
I think that's true.
You think that's true.
Okay, any final, I want to move on. Any final comments on this?
Barry has already offered, as you well know, Barry has offered to help us with this, and he's already written a fairly lengthy opinion or background or whatever on it. Getting this right is beyond the scope of us regular people. End of story. We need professional help. Let's do that.
I agree.
Got it.
Got it.
Just so you know, Vance, I'm sorry, Vance, this is Mike. I have been in correspondence with Barry, and he's already given us, in a very general sense, his interpretation, his understanding of what our current protective covenants and CCRs say, and as we all know, it's a challenge because we want to protect individual rights. In fact, I'll quote Larry, probably not exactly, but when this came up, when this came up recently in an email discussion, Larry's comment, it really hit me because Larry basically said, I don't want anybody being able to take away my rights as an individual owner, and at the same time, I don't want to be responsible for taking away somebody else's rights when it's not the right thing to do. And so that's the challenge that we have. We want to protect all of our own individual rights as owners at Deer Springs Ranch, and at the same time, give people, some flexibility to do what they want to do with their own property, as long as it doesn't have a negative impact on everybody else. Yeah.
Well, that was why my question of what do you mean by commercial? What is that?
We'll get that for you with the county when we do clarification.
So
we'll get all of that, because when we send this out, we need to clarify big time.
And thank you, Vance, for your comment, because I agree with you. We definitely need professional guidance.
Yeah, work with Barry. He's offered. He knows the ranch. He's probably done stuff like this before for other HOAs and stuff in the city, which, by the way, is apples and oranges. We shouldn't go there. But nevertheless, some of the underlying principles do apply.
Understood. Thank you. Okay, any final comments on that subject? Move on.
I think somebody's trying to speak.
Yes. So anybody else on the, anybody calling in have another comment?
So, if somebody's going to profit from their lot, I'm not saying people are right. If somebody's going to profit from their lot, shouldn't your thing also profit? That's what cities, counties,
we discussed that.
We kind of talked about that, some form of impact fee or.
Yeah, user fees. Yep, agreed. Yeah.
Trying to commercially profit from their donations.
But again, that comes up the question of what is commercial.
Well, it's different. You're making a profit of commercial.
Yeah, but you can, okay,
you're making
so
a profit
can,
of commercial.
You're allowed to sell so many cars a year as a private individual without being a car dealer. Car dealer is commercial.
You didn't ask what, you know what I'm saying? Is a car dealer. You asked what is a corporation.
What is
what
commercial?
Is, what is commercial?
Correct.
Commercial is if you're profiting from it, you are commercial. And if you make profit, and that's how any city, county, anything describes it.
I think what happens to the guy that's living in his garage out here on an occasional project or something for someone, you know?
Well, that's why I use the car to get the car sales, because you can sell a few cars a year.
Well, that's where I think it comes more into, but how does that impact? How does it impact the neighborhood and the overall collective community?
Yeah, make money. So nice.
Make a profit.
That's probably true.
Yeah, but the thing keeps coming back to, you know, we charge a fee for it so we open the door to becoming debt free. That's what the what
yeah, and that's the reason.
And that's where do we draw the line? How far do we go with it?
Line makes it expensive.
Guys in a.
Well, and right now, I apologize, but right now, even if somebody told you yes, you can do the Airbnb thing, which we don't think you can. You have to have permits. You have to pay sales tax.
No,
you have to pay an overnight tax. I mean,
you take all that out.
You don't just rent your cabin and put the cash in your pocket.
No, they take it.
Or you go to jail.
Before you ever get your money from Airbnb, all that comes off the top.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, like I said, Kane County already has that addressed.
Exactly.
The way I see it, though, commercial damage, when we talk about commercial damage to someplace, is a lot different than it is a store downtown or someplace than it is out here where we have a community and we the ones that don't have it, are all going to be impacted by it. At a
okay, yep. So, go ahead. Yep.
But if they come out here and work on the roads, I got to fix it. They run up and down the road, I got to fix it. Pretty soon, I got to say I don't have enough budget, so I got to go back to you.
That, I agree.
More money.
Okay, let's move on. Hey, guys. Okay, let's move on. Obviously, this is a hot topic, and not just because you're sitting in the sun. It's a hot topic, so we will be discussing this again.
It's really curious.
Okay, next item. Update on Lower Cabins solar integration and water project. Where are we at with Mariah?
I just assembled the transformer up there, and I was moving things around. And I was getting ready to form up the pad. I got to put the triplex in conduit, and I got to put the primary line in conduit. And anyway, I got waylaid by the water project.
Sorry.
And so now that the water project's over, and I'm going to help Kurt a little bit with cabin six.
Not a little bit.
my son brought up, I think, 25 steel 2x4s for the shed. So they're up at the ranch now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, it's all in the works. The plans have been approved. I've talked to John Miller in some detail, and the plans have been, he likes the plan. The plan will work. And all we got to do is start working on it. I did cut down. Everybody knows I love that chainsaw. I did cut down
a lot of trees.
Two trees up there. And then I cut their rails out. I don't know if you found them up there.
Yeah.
And then and then I drug the slash over so it's out of the way, and then I bucked up the burnable stuff, and I took it to my place.
Accidentally.
But anyway, guys, so I think I've got all the trees taken out that we need to take out to make it work. And all we got to start doing is we got to get that pad formed up. Well, I got to move the transformer and get things leveled over there, and then form the pad up, get the conduit in, and or concrete. And it probably takes 2 pallets worth of concrete to do it because it started out small and
it's getting bigger.
Now
Kurt's got an apartment on the end.
Anyway, it's in the works. It's not happening as fast as I'd like it to happen, but it's happening. The unfortunate part is that we don't, when we run the generator, we can't tap power because everything's disconnected up there, so there's no power.
Bare wires.
Is the plan to mix your own concrete, or are you going to have a truck come up?
We're going to mix our own. We can't afford to buy that.
Well, if it helps, we have a little electric mixer if you want to have more than...
I'm actually the fan of using the backhoe bucket like we did on the other, because if we get the super hose out there, you can mix it pretty quick.
Who are you calling a hoe?
And take your shoes off because it squishes through your toes.
But anyway, we got way late in that, and then got way late in with the water project up there, and so we're
okay. Thank you. Just want to make sure everybody's up to date. Okay. It will be very nice to have limited solar in all of the lower cabins. But I want to remind everybody, limited solar. We had, who was it that was asking about the waffle?
Missy Bean.
Missy Bean sent me a message. She goes, so if I can't run a waffle iron in 6, 7, or 9, how about 8? There's no waffle iron.
Everybody has to understand, limited. Yeah. Really?
They take more power than
that. Honestly.
We put electric refrigerators in there so we don't have to deal with the propane anymore.
Yep, that's what I was just going to say. The main reason is so we can have electric fridges instead of propane.
What about the upper cabins? Will they still be propane?
They're going to still be propane for now, but that'll be the next phase of the project. We have another trailer to go up there, but that's going to be a lot more involved with a lot of trenching and getting power run to each of the cabins. Here it's already done, so we thought we'd test it down here first.
But that is the plan. Yep, that is the plan. Okay, and moving on, we are at the point now where each of the board members will give a brief update on their areas of responsibility. And I know that my name is first here, but Cindy, since you're on the teleconference, I want to give you the first shot. I'm assuming, Cindy, that you're still there?
I am.
Okay. Did you want to share anything with everybody in terms of updates on what you've been working on?
Absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and give an update, and then I have some questions. And if everyone would... hold their questions until I'm done with the update part, because the lag is so bad, I'm afraid I'll just talk over you or not hear you. So let me just start with the update real quick, and that is that the work campers are here. They are doing well, from what I understand, and as evidenced by the fact that I'm in Idaho and the cabins and laundry are still being taken care of. We do have another work camper that will be arriving in about 2 weeks. As far as volunteering, I'd like to reiterate that anyone with construction skills is encouraged to contact Kurt regarding helping him on Cabin 6. If you cannot find him, I suggest you look into the hole that he keeps saying he's trying to get out of.
Good one, Cindy.
We have had some donation offerings for the bedding that we are short. Jeff Mickelson and Tanisha Spohr both contacted me and are in contact with me about donating some clean fitted sheets and some bedding for the twins. Okay, so that finishes my update, and now I have a couple of questions. There is a canoe at the pond, and Jeff Mickelson, I'm sorry, I hope I'm not mispronouncing that too badly.
Mickelson,
okay. There is a canoe at the pond, and Jeff has volunteered to repair that canoe and to put some life vests and oars or paddles, but he needs to know first if it is DSROA property or where that canoe originally came from.
That's Dave Turley, wasn't it?
Nobody knows. We suspect.
I think Dave Turley, we think. We're not sure.
That's what we think.
We're not sure.
I thought it was a
long time ago.
Yeah, Barry was worried about liability on
it. I think it should be off. As nice as it is, it's too easy to flip.
But it's been there for years. And I think if it was going to be a problem, it would have been already.
I think I'd get a hold of Dave Turley first thing and see if it's his.
Well, he'll be here next
week. I'm here, and it's not mine. It's not mine. I didn't put it there.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Okay.
But here's my question, and this is the rabbit hole that we go down every time. Isn't the whole ranch use at your own risk? I mean, we had a climbing wall, and it was taken down because of the liability. Are the ponds going to be drained because of liability? Are the roads, liability? So that's the question, and I don't know that anyone's an expert here that can answer that. But it's unfortunate these kind of things go away because some people are afraid of the liability that may or may not be an issue in reality.
That's a great point. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I agree, and if we're going to be improving the canoe, I think that, you know, if we're going to be putting life vests in there and making it safer, I think that's even better than just leaving it as it is. So it sounds like we kind of own the canoe because it was dropped off and nobody's claiming it. Does anybody have
any...
Sorry, go ahead.
I would vote to go ahead and give Jeff Mickelson the authority to repair the... It's in disrepair and could be more and more dangerous or cause injury because of the way the seat and the bench and everything's broken loose inside of it. And if he's willing to fix that and put some life vests in it, that's a positive in my book.
I think there's Springs Ranch on it, too, so people that question it, they know it's not a personal, and you're taking all liability on yourself.
Well, and it would be very easy for us to create a sign that we put right on the dock that basically says, or on the canoe itself as well, that basically says,
that'll help.
You know, this is, you know, this is a private property for, you know, strictly for use of owners and guests. And, I mean, it is private property, right? I mean, the pond's private property.
Yes.
So if somebody uses it and they're not an owner or an authorized guest, then they're literally trespassing.
Right.
So if they're trespassing and using it and something bad happens, then, you know, they're trespassing.
How about if we change the name?
Go ahead, Cindy. We had a lot of people talking here.
I know. And it's hard because I can't see that people want to talk. I'm looking out at just the wilderness right now. I suggest that we paint as a name on the side of the canoe, use at your own risk.
That's been sanctioned.
That's a good idea.
That's the name of the canoe?
Yeah. That's the name of the canoe.
The name of the judge.
Okay, so I think that Larry suggested that we give Jeff Mickelson the okay to do what he is proposing. So let's make it a vote with the board members.
I will say yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Okay, let's. So it has passed. So Cindy, go ahead and give Jeff the news.
Great.
You have
I'm
more
sure
questions, Cindy?
let's see. Oh, I wanted to find out about the status of the RV pads. I haven't heard anything on those.
We decided it was too difficult, and so we just canceled it out.
On the way down here, I drove over that road they made there, and it's the roughest road I ever seen.
Larry, you'll see some muffins then.
Here's Larry for some additional clarification.
The septic system, the collection system, the water supply system is all complete and in place. Right now, the only thing holding us up is we're still hauling rock and fill into there, which Kurt is doing between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m., and we'll crush it up and spread it out and should be pretty much functional and operational within the next 2 to 3 days. Not months.
So that is wonderful news. Thank you to everybody doing that. The one comment I do want to add for everybody's benefit is when we were originally talking about the RV pads, there was a question as to whether or not we were going to get a septic permit for 3 sites or 6 sites and maybe 3 wet sites and 3 dry sites. And the good news is Larry has done it so that we actually got permitted for 6 wet sites. So the first 3 sites are going to be up and operational in the very near future, but have already installed everything in such a way that whenever we're ready to, we can very easily add site number 4, number 5, number 6, because all of the infrastructure is already there and it's already been permitted. So that is fantastic. Let's give everybody a hand.
Yay! Next question.
That does it for me.
Okay, Cindy, thank you very much. All right, so now I'm next on the list. So let me give an update on a few things. At our meeting last month, Jeff and Tina brought up a question about the ranch store and how it's being operated, where the proceeds go to. And we wanted to just provide kind of a quick update on why things are the way they are now compared to the way they used to be in the past, and just some, you know, how to think about it and options going forward. So, Joe, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to ask you to just take a couple of minutes and give everybody a quick update.
Yeah, the question we got is, who's really going to control the store? In the past, the profit off the store is usually under $1,100 a year. That's all the profit we made off of it. When Kurt took over, Barry set it up so that he'd be in charge of it. He bought the inventory. The store is not as well equipped as it used to be with all the stuff we had, with ice and ice cream and toothpaste and toothbrushes. Kurt can't be in the store all the time. So we're at a dilemma where we go back the way we were, and if we do, how do we control it? And I come up with a couple of ideas. Like we could pop 3 hours, open it for 2 hours, lock it up for 3 hours, open it for 2 hours. But if we do, who's going to be in control of the store? So we're in a dilemma of how we're actually going to handle it. We need some input from people on what they suggest we do and how we do handle the store. Kurt doesn't care if he releases it back to the ranch.
It goes back with the petting zoo.
Yeah.
That's just an expense to me.
So, and just let me clarify that. Kurt didn't ask for the store. He was asked to take over the store to try to make it run better and be functional. So it's not like it's something that he ever wanted in the first place. It's something that he was asked to do as part of, you know, modifying things to work better for the future.
So we need some input on how to handle the store, really. The honor system doesn't really work great. People walk in, take an ice cream, they don't drop money in it. Next thing you know, all the ice cream's gone and no money's collected, so. So we're at a point of how we're going to actually handle it.
Yeah, I think they've still got a credit in that store.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they do it.
It's like little House on the Prairie, right? I just haven't put it on my tab.
It would be a water filter, but I only have a 10, so I just stick a 10 in it, and you owe me 9 waters.
Yeah. Well, here's
I don't mind that. I mean, that doesn't matter, but if it's an issue of you know, the ranch making the money on the store, buy the inventory and take it back. I don't care. It's one less thing I got to worry about. But
well, we were curious about deception. So when members or members' dads, like her dad came and bought a bunch of shirts at the store, and they think it's a DSR store, so they're helping the ranch, but DSR doesn't make a nickel. They're not actually helping the ranch. They're helping Kurt.
Right.
But they don't know that.
So you spent $60 on shirts thinking it was going to the ranch.
Thinking it's going to the ranch,
right.
But it's not actually going to the ranch. So that creates deception.
Well, it was just, I don't think anything was deceptive. It was just poorly ran before, and I'm not saying it's run great now, but it's something that I'm perfectly welcome to give back along with the petting zoo.
And, Jeff, let me clarify something. I guarantee you there was no deception involved. That's not the intent. What it was is very poor communication. And, unfortunately, we have had very poor communication on a lot of things with Deer Springs Ranch in the past. And that's just, I mean, the first time I even heard about this is when you brought it up at last month's meeting. I wasn't aware of it until you brought it up. And so,
I heard about it. Like Curtis said in the past that this, you know, I'm running the store now, you know, so on and so forth. But then when we requested the contract, like I was telling you, it's not in there. It doesn't say that. And
it's
then
in the minutes.
Huh?
It's in the meeting minutes.
So when I asked, I even then specifically asked Barry, hey, is there any additional addendums or any other agreements? Because I don't see the store being transferred over.
Right.
No, there's nothing additional. Okay, so there's no handshake, there's no nothing?
There's a canceled check for what I paid for the inventory.
Like something got lost.
Well, apparently it was discussed in board meeting minutes, and I'm sure we could go back and find those if we ever wanted to.
Well, we've got something as simple as a little sign on the cash box or whatever it is, just like the charities, right? All proceeds go to X. So then people wouldn't, they'll know. Yeah.
Well, Kurt,
all it really does is it helps pay for the feed and stuff like that, and that was the goal. In fact, I was going to put out the, because I got the, at the same time, I got the petting zoo dumped on me, and that's just an expense. I just pay for it. And, you know, I was all about it because I'm not here for a career. I'm here to try to help the ranch organize better, and that's my purpose here. And, you know, when I'm done, then I'm done. You know, it's hopefully the ranch is a better place and we have systems that everybody can follow. The store, the petting zoo, everything like that, you know, the way it was presented to me, the petting zoo, Barry says, well, we'll loan you $1,500 at the beginning of season and you pay the $1,500 back at the end of the season. And I'm like, how do you make $1,500?
And a petting zoo.
You know, I get one kid a week going to the petting zoo. Really? Yeah.
So here's the bottom line. So let me follow around here. Will you touch that chicken twice?
The baby's coats and the chicken eggs and grab. She was selling them. That's how she was trying to sell.
Well, I have, I don't know. There's no records of what she actually made or did on that because it wasn't accounted, and I haven't kept any records on the store. I just hope for the best because that's all I have time for. The amount of time that it takes to manage that store requires some serious time in there, and there isn't time for it.
So
it's one of the problems.
If we ask in the newsletter or something for all members to donate items for the store, I wonder if that would...
Well, you still have the expectation you need your candies. I have ice creams on the porch. You know, you want the basic necessities. I'm trying to make it a little bit nicer, but, you know, like I say, I'm in a work hole right now and I'm stuck.
Well, you're filling it with gravel.
Well, we could do, I think it would be great if the ranch bought my inventory from me and we could get some volunteers working on it and let people just let it be a ranch thing and let them keep track of everything and let it work on a volunteer. Since it's for the ranch, people would be glad to donate
that
some time.
Campers.
Unless we lock
exactly.
the door.
Yeah, work campers to do it.
Okay, hang on. Hang on, we could, but we're going to have to be beating up our work camper.
But the,
hang on. Cindy's trying to talk. So, Cindy, go ahead.
Sorry, I really have the, you know, if the complaint is that people are giving money to what they think is the ranch and it turns out it's Kurt and that's not fair, I have no problem putting up a sign that Kurt Jacobson is the proprietor. If he makes a profit, great. If he has a loss, that's on him. But we can't just keep, you know, saying, oh, the work campers can do that. That's still on Kurt if the work campers are doing it. Somebody still has to be responsible for that store. And to take that from Kurt, I think you're asking for it to fall apart again and not be taken care of. But that's just 2 cents from the peanut gallery.
No, thanks for your input, Cindy. And again, I think this is not an issue that's going to get decided today, but it's certainly an issue that needs to be decided. And I personally like the thought of going into the store, buying something, and knowing that, you know, 10 cents of every dollar is going to help the ranch. I mean, that's a wonderful concept. But who's going to make that happen? How is it going to happen? And that's the challenge that we have. And so, you know, any final comments before we move on? Okay, let's move on. And next, Kurt, do you have anything to add?
I'm good.
Okay. Kathy Pierce, do you have anything to add?
My cabins are looking good, and 7 got completed. Joe and I talked yesterday, and we would like to try to get new mattresses. I guess it was Candy. Sorry, you're part of that. get some mattresses. I'd like to get some mattresses for cabin 8, and we'd like to get one of them for the upper cabin. If we could order another set of mattresses.
What one is she looking for through the upper cabins?
I don't know. You'd have to talk to Candace.
Because you know what? I got one sitting right there on that trailer that me and Joe was trying to figure out. Why do we have an extra mattress? And I knew she needed a mattress somewhere, but now that's going into place.
I thought you were putting it in the store.
It's going into the house.
Yeah.
I fire easy.
What are we selling there?
That's going into cabin 6 now.
Oh, well, that's kind of what I thought it was. I told her, I said, I don't know, maybe cabin 6. But
well, I know she said something about Joe and I put the ones in cabin 2, and I'm like, we have an extra. She wanted another mattress somewhere. But anyhow, there it is. Right there.
Hey, Joe, that's
a Candy will be very happy.
No, she'll get, I'm going to try order 2 more twins for 6. So I'm going to use those for now. And so if you guys get together what mattresses you need, then I'll talk to Barry and get them all ordered at one time.
I don't remember which one she said. I just think of cabin 8 because that's the most used. So we've got 4 queens.
4 queens in cabin 8.
So we need to get 4 new queens.
And we need 2 twins for cabin 6. And then whatever Candy.
So, is that something you ordered?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got that on the order list. Okay. And then you can come.
I'm writing it down.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Anything else, Candy?
That's it.
Okay, Joe, you're up.
Now this is spending where the money's coming from,
that's
right?
Cool. I haven't
so that's Joe.
My son, so there should be other than cabin 7.
There should be plenty.
Yeah.
So you'll ask Candy?
Yeah. Joe, anything you
asked Candy a month ago?
Joe, anything you want to add to what you've already said?
Yes. As soon as I finished jibber jabbering.
All right. All right.
Okay. As far as my minutes for the dollar amount, I'll send you an email. I left my notes at home on how much money we had in the bank. So when you write your minutes for the meeting, I'll fill that blank in for you. But I will supply the dollars amount.
Okay.
Number 2, the
Brent and Kurt are making a pad up here for the new electrical thing for the solar. And my son donated 25 steel 2x4s to make the building go up. So I'll save a little bit of money there. And there was a complaint on the pond. One for the dock was in bad shape. I donated the wood. My son helped me. We rebuilt the dock, so it's pretty secure right now. Other than that, I got nothing else.
Did you send an email to Sid?
No, I didn't.
Do that.
No, I was going to ask him to help next time, but I didn't.
Thank you for doing that, Joe.
Thank you.
About $1 million with the lumber prices.
Right? Exactly.
Well, the wood I put on it is green board, which is treated, and it, they were 4x6s. So they're 4 inches thick, 6 inches wide, and 60 inches long. I'd hate to think of what they'd cost at this market today. I bought them 20 years ago.
Ah,
I took them off my deck, and I put a different deck on mine, so you got my leftover stuff.
And me down deck.
And it should last forever. It should last forever.
I'm going to have some hand-me-down deck.
All right.
If Brent would donate some of that Trex, we could put it on top of that.
Anything else, Joe?
Nope, that's it.
All right, John Harris.
Okay, well, my report on the roads is kind of like last month.
Yes.
Larry did some work over and slide widening corners so bigger stuff can get around it, and he got that taken care of, and he's taken care of a few things, other things too. And by the way, that culvert that caused the problem is now fixed, Larry. I asked Larry to put a new culvert in, but he found a way to do that, because one culvert wouldn't cover it.
Yeah, I
two.
Saw him out there with a box of
yeah.
candy.
So well, it's got a good amount of dirt over it. And if you did your beating down properly, the sharpness isn't the problem. Part of it's on you.
It was a little hammer. I mean, not a big hammer. It was a little hammer.
Well, you know what? You know, it's better than no hammer. You just got to swing more times and harder.
Right there, it's kind of sandy now. Are you kind of putting more gravel over it?
Not yet.
He's just hauling gravel up here. He's going to haul up there.
Yeah.
It's a little rough, but...
Yeah, not yet, but we will.
We're going to put a gravel and do a speed bump at the same time.
You use the same gravel you've been pouring right there.
Yeah.
Our
problem right now is just so dry. And, you know, when you take got something that's just dry as it can get, and you put something else on it as dry as it gets, it just doesn't stick when you run over it and goes to the side.
Water
we couldn't haul enough water.
Two bowls mixed in.
Oh, we could do that.
Just to get it this
but we get any moisture, it's going to hold. If it appears and then gets sharp again, and you get another flat tire, I'll beg your forgiveness, and then I'll fix it better.
It can't. But there's a flat steel plate welded over that. So
he welded the plate over.
Yeah, but I just saw your weld job.
Yeah. How good a welder are
you?
You
like that weld job?
But anyway, moving forward.
Sure.
As all of you know right now, the roads are really getting rough and rougher, and they're getting rough on our roads out here again, too. We got a lot of traffic that's coming through here. Last weekend, it was crazy.
No water.
Today, there was a stream of a dozen of them speeding, going way twice too fast down there, and I almost got hit. I mean, we both slid sideways three times by the same group. The group was long.
It was a good time.
And it was on a corner because they were coming around, and you couldn't see them coming until they get to the corner. They come to the corner going 60 miles an hour, and they think it's ha-ha funny because they're sliding around, and that's what off-roaders like to do. And I don't know if it's our people out here. I'm sure they weren't. If they were, they were guests of somebody. But I've never seen any of them. But anyway, we need to slow down on the roads and preserve them as much as we can. And we're dry now, and I'm in charge of that fire problem there. And I'm worried about people throwing stuff out, like a cigarette, a match, or whatever, on the sides of the roads. And if we get a major fire out of any of this, then so dry, there's nobody here going to live long enough to see this place beautiful again.
Be careful.
Speak for yourself.
I will outlive you. And I'm not going to live long enough. And that's enough.
Okay. Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. All right, Larry, last but certainly not least. You're up.
I think the only thing I haven't already gone over and covered, I had my visual aid. This is not the Brent Homer.
This is the Milwaukee Best.
So that's full of cans, but I picked all those cans up and put them in the box. They were scattered around off the side of the road and in the little camp area in Lower Slide Canyon. They weren't off there yesterday morning, and they were there last night when I left.
For those of you on the teleconference, Larry's show and tell is an 18-pack of Bud Light cans, empty.
Good, at least left one.
Yeah. That was full, like I said. What I would like to ask is, I know Kathy picked up beer bottles or cans in Slide Canyon 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And, and it would be
I would like people
to kind of know when and where so that we can. I don't think this was any of our members. It was actually in BLM, so we have no control over it, but I would like to stop them and say, look, trash man, take your trash somewhere else.
They don't want to be caught with open containers.
As far as the wind gators.
Could it be Jennifer Hill?
It could be anybody that does have that just don't care.
I'm coming.
It can be some of our own people. It can be other people.
Well, the day before yesterday, I was up working in Slide Canyon, and somebody on a white-colored ATV came in the driveway I was working on and saw me and Ron working. And did Braden leave?
I'm right here.
Oh, back here.
Yeah, it was actually like a, it was a green and a black kind of Honda. I don't know what they're called, but it's.
Anyway, it came cruising in his driveway and then kind of like saw us and like, oh, whoops, and left.
Yeah.
It went up on Upslide Canyon to the top end where Ron Benson lives and went off-road up over the top of his hill where he's got his water tank buried, which there is a scar there where I dug the trench years and years ago, and Ron rides his ATV up it once a year to check his water and turn it on or turn it off.
Was that yesterday afternoon?
That was
2 days ago.
Because somebody, while I was under the trailer putting water and batteries, they come running up. They run up to Nelson's, and then they run down by my house, come out and run around my circle drive there and just kept going. I thought it was somebody to come and see me, and I couldn't.
I think most of these people that are doing that kind of thing are not members. They're just out joyriding and going wherever this road leads.
Mm-hmm.
I did see a couple people on ATVs come ripping down the road. I am
at. Well, that same day, actually it was last Monday of this week, I met some people. I came from Slide Canyon, met them up above Pipeline and Slide, and then I came down past John's and my dad's cabin. I was at the Iron Gate. I was in the Ponderosa Pine Trees, and they came through the Iron Gate. So they're, 300 yards ahead of me. By the time I got to the Iron Gate and then turned the corner there, I could see the dust cloud clear down below the fish ponds.
Yeah.
So they had gone from the Iron Gate to below the fish ponds, which is about a mile and a half to 2 miles in, gone in 30 seconds.
I don't know what we can do about it. I just wish the sheriff department would send a patrol car out here at least once a month on a weekend and just drive through.
Wow. They have put up lights over the whole, like a 2-acre lighted area. Razors.
Crawford Pass Campground.
Campground.
So the white pit road at the top.
Yeah.
And then you count backwards from 8 to 0 back to the street campground, site 7, so 2 sites back. There was at least 400 people in that campground.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
When I saw this guy, I thought it was law enforcement. He was in a blue and white Razor, but he had red strobe flasher lights, and I thought, oh, it's a ranger, it's a cop, he's chasing somebody. Anyway, the only other thing I wanted to report is I started working last year to get us involved in the elk portion of the Hauntagon Wildlife Association that we participate for mule deer. That's other than members association dues, that's the largest money that comes into our budget. And
that should have been in my report. That was $1,800 too.
Yeah. So in addition to the like $15,000 that we make on the deer tag, the elk added another $1,800 this year. So we're being helped financially, and that money, elk and deer, really we have no. I mean, that's money. We're not trading off. We don't have to provide any services. We don't have to graze anybody's cows. We don't have to do anything or build a fence. So that's just part of my
responsibility.
Can you kind of go over a little bit? I've had a lot of people ask about the hunt. But so we've got a lot of new members, but maybe it's just bringing it back up again exactly.
Because we participate in the wildlife, the Pontagon Landowners Association, Deer Springs Ranch is one member of about 200 landowner groups that participate in that. That group is given a number of mule deer tags. They're auctioned off through the Sportsman for Fish and Wildlife Banquet each year, and it produces an unreasonable amount of money. Deer Springs gets a portion of that money. If somebody wants to hunt the Pontagon, just because you're a member of Deer Springs Ranch doesn't mean you get to do that for free. We all still have to draw a tag, or if you're ridiculously rich and buy a tag, great, good for you. If you're a member of the ranch, I give members priority to hunt the ranch, and there's no charge. Outsiders, anybody that's buying these banquet tags or outside draw people that want to hunt the ranch, I have to let them on a first-come, first-served basis for one, in order for us to participate in this money.
How many tags does Deer Springs get?
We don't get any anymore. No, nobody gets the tags. The overall association, the Pontagon Landowners Association, gets all the tags. They sell them at auction and then gives Deer Springs their portion of that money based on acreage. There's a qualifier for your portion of the money is 20 acres of irrigated and mechanically harvested alfalfa or 640 acres of open rangeland. Deer Springs has no qualifications under agricultural harvesting of crop. So all of our 2,000 acres gives us whatever the multiplier is, that's like three 640-acre qualifiers. That equates to, now it's grown little bit by little bit, but I think our deer tag money last year
was $12,700.
$12,700. Well, that's our portion because of our open range land.
Wait a minute, you gave me a check for over
$15,000. Well,
I was over $15,000.
I think this last year was $15,000.
It was over $15,000 last year.
How many hunters you allow?
Yes, yes. And the answer is two. One draw tag that's a general draw tag and one of the auction tags is all that I have to allow. I can allow as many as we want, but in all reality, Deer Springs is not a great place to hunt deer. The time of year when the deer hunt is going on, the deer are either above us or below us. There are a few resident deer that hang out in the Deer Springs area, but they're not typically, I mean, I'm sure you've all heard somebody say, hey, I saw a huge deer. Well, what's a huge deer to you, Tina?
Yeah.
What's a huge deer to you, Kathy? What's a huge deer, you know? The people that are paying $250,000 to hunt one deer are not looking for what you think is a huge deer.
But Larry, they can't come on your property to hunt
That's not part of their
property. Correct. That's private.
Right.
That's private. But they still, we've got, they can't come on our property.
They come on association land, right, Larry?
Right.
Association land only.
Yeah.
And for them to do that, they need to have you as a tour guide?
Or not necessarily. They have to contact me, and then it's basically I need to know who they are, what their concept is. If they're somebody that I know and they know the area, I don't have a problem with them. If it's somebody I have no concept, have they ever been to Deer Springs? Do they know where Kathy's Cabin is? Do they know where the association starts and stops? Do they know where, you know, what's through the woods right there? That's kind of what I weigh out a little bit. And
they got a website that actually shows the exact private property.
Yeah.
And they required it. And you have to have a written, in order to hunt, you have to have a written permission from him if they get pulled over.
Right.
It would be beneficial to announce who you are allowing to hunt here.
I usually notify Kurt.
Years ago, we ran into some people at the gravel pit. Oh, Larry's letting me hunt.
Well, and that's happened many, many times.
That's a lot.
Over the years. It's, yeah. They just say, oh, well, I know the Parksons. You know, Dale said I can hunt here.
A lot of people.
But, I mean, if you told
I was told that. I was told that by somebody that I stopped and said, hey, Larry said I could hunt here.
I've been out there many mornings at 4 o'clock. And I've had a few discussions at the gate back there on why. And one guy, I said, well, look, there's about 6% of the land here that's privately owned. The rest of it is all one form of government. There's 94% out there. There's deer out there. They don't know the difference what that fence is for. They just jump over it. Go out there and hunt.
So usually during that time of year of the season, I typically will let Mariah know because she issues a permission letter that they have with them. I'll let Kurt know here on site who it is or where they're coming from, usually Brant or John. And I also kind of keep a record simply because the state, every once in a while, will say, we need to know who you've given access to justify, you know.
And you have the right to ask them for that letter.
Yeah.
And I have the right to say, I want to see the doctor.
Yeah. Other than that, Tom, we haven't run into anybody. But I know at 4 a.m. when we see headlights all down Coombe.
What's that look like?
Holy
oh, 4 a.m.
Yeah. You can ask Brent. No, ask Mariah.
Either two or three years ago, they shot the lock off the gate that I put in there. I heard them do it about 9 o'clock at night. And my wife says, somebody's shooting down there. I said, so it's nighttime and they're poaching. She says, are you going to run down there? I says, no. She says, why not? And I says, I'm by myself. It's in the night and they're breaking the law.
They got guns.
She says, you have a gun? I says, yeah, but that doesn't mean I'd win the battle. She said, well, I'll go with you. I said, that you're not going to do.
Well,
the next day they shot the lock off. It wasn't poaching.
It is possible to shoot coyote at night, right?
No.
If you have a permit and stuff for turtle lighting.
You can get permission from the sheriff, but you have to get permission and be on record. But it's pretty hard to... Because the state law prohibits you to have a spotlight and a rifle or a firearm at the same time. If you're caught with that, even if you're not using them, it's a ticketable offense. So when we'd go spotlighting, we'd stop somewhere and stash all the guns somewhere else. We got pulled over. It's like, oh, we don't even have a gun.
Okay, Larry, anything else, Dad?
We're done, Larry.
Okay, I think we are done. Oh, May, wait. May,
question.
May has a question. Go ahead, May.
Is there a certificate for the winner of the...
Oh.
There were no certificates, but there was a prize.
Right, I guarantee.
Your grant.
There was only certificates for the fishing.
Yeah, there weren't any certificates, but there was a prize.
There will be next time.
We thought there was going to be a surprise. A certificate I was supposed to ask.
Yeah.
So our next meeting, July...
That's a week.
in July. Second Saturday of July is the 10th.
We want to do it earlier.
The 3rd.
4 a.m. Then Kurt will know what it looks like.
Either do it in the evening when it cools down or earlier.
Well, there's a lunar eclipse. You can take a picture.
Yeah.
I don't have a preference. I'd say earlier would be fine with me.
The only thing with Mariah, with her scheduling, that's why we're doing 1 p.m.
Right.
It doesn't matter to me as long as it works for everybody else.
Well, it doesn't matter to me as long as Mariah can be here.
Yeah, right, exactly. We'd rather have Mariah here. Okay, so we're not locked into 1 o'clock. So we'll talk to Mariah. We'll figure out schedules. We'll still try to do Saturday the 10th. Saturday the 10th, but we'll try to do it earlier in the day if we can. Sound good?
Okay.
All right.
Breakfast, I know good
cook.
Then I got to get up.
Okay, Vance, are you still there?
Problem.
All right, I just wanted to confirm that we still have the teleconference active, so... We are officially done.
Okay.
Thank you very much.